Fred from Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2015 Ostrava Camera Oko, and I'm very pleased to be joined by the founder of the festival, Jakub Felsman. So thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is the first time Fred comes to this festival, and it's a very delightful experience so far. Well, especially because there seems to be such a tight community. But I would like you to kind of introduce our listeners to the festival and tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I always keep... So I have some, you know, some sentences that I say regularly all the time to introduce the festival. And well, yes, it is simple. It's a cinematographer's film festival. It's a festival that focuses on the work of cinematographer. That's the brief answer.
And that to me is fascinating, because I always find that cinematographers, not only are they like the body and soul of a film, but also do you agree with what I'm saying? They kind of don't get the credit they deserve a lot of the time.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, we have another problem, and the problem is that if you say that you do a cinematographer festival, then people will start thinking that it's a niche festival. It's something like very technical, and we keep on hearing this here in Ostrava all the time. By people like, okay, so it is a festival, but you know, they are all kinds of festival. They are festival of ecological films and festival of travel films and, you know, whatever. And then they have the festival of, like, people who technically make films. So maybe some technical films or whatever like this. Which is, of course, quite complicated to explain. Either you have to drop the cinematographers in the title of the film, or you have to, like, prepare for years of explanations to the general public that the festival is the festival. It's a festival. It's an ordinary festival. It screens films that we discover on other festivals. It screens films that we know that they are made, that they have their sales agents, that they tour in the world, they are in distribution, they enter festival ordinary film markets. These are the ordinary films. The only difference from an ordinary film festival, as you would put it, is that instead of giving the biggest credit to the director, which I know that the director deserves it, but we give the credit to the cinematographer, and we just try to show people not films that we pre-consider that they are like cinematographer-like, which means that they are great from the visual point of view. No, what we try to do is to show them the ordinary films, but in the context of that it is a cinematographer's event, then they can watch it from the point of view of a filmmaker who really did it, and who was not the director, but the cinematographer, who really shot it, who decided where to put the camera and how to do the lighting and, you know.
Yeah, but so, in other words, you're also keen on getting the audience, attending to the audience's need, not just, you know, the cinematographers, basically.
Well, there are always two parts of it, you know. At one part, of course, it's a festival, so you want to have public, and you want the festival to be a real event, and the people to talk about it, and all of this. From the other point of view, I think in a world, someone says that in a world it's like, I don't know how many, like 5,000 or 30,000 or whatever, an incredible number of film festivals, you know. So you always have to, you go to the question, why am I doing the festival when there are another 5,000 festivals at least, and then they are such great festivals, you know, why should I do it? So, of course, from one point of view, it's because you feel the need of it, and you think that it's your task to do a festival. On the other hand, it's like, okay, so what can I bring to the community or to the public or whatever, to the system of festivals? And that's it. I feel it's so much more important as a cinematographer's film festival than it would be an ordinary international film festival. And that's it. The point is, if there would be somebody like really from an alien, somebody who comes from a different country or a different even world or whatever, and see the festival and compare it to other festivals, he would say, okay, so it's a normal international film festival, you know. But then there is the niche, the difference is just in the focus on the role of cinematography. That's it, you know.
So how does the city usually respond to the festival then?
Well, I think it responds in the very perfect way as they shoot to this kind of festival. I think, well, you know, it's 7th year, so it really took some time. So I'm quite persuaded that all the people for whom we do the festival here, I mean, in the city, apart from the people who come from other cities, like the cinephile community or whatever, they know about it and they look for it and you know, so.
Let's take, for instance, this year's program. 7th edition again. That is quite an achievement, you know. But let's tell our listeners maybe what would have been the main kind of highlights of this year's edition of the festival, if you could just pinpoint what they were.
Well, for me it's we have only 6 very limited number of films in the main competition. We only have 6 films in competition, and it's my top 6 of this year. I wouldn't say, okay, if this wasn't a cinematographer festival, I wouldn't have selected this film. No, it's like the films that are selected are afterwards the films that we love the most, you know. So for this year, we started with Trois Souvenirs de ma jeunesse, from Arnaud Desplechin. Then, you know, today we screen a film of Apichat Ponkvera Setakul, the Cemetery of Splendor, Ventos de Agosto of a Brazilian Gabriel Mascaro, and then we have the new film by Otario Celiani, Chandiver, a new Czech film that is really the one that got to an international public and gives the credit to the Czech cinema. It's called the Rodinný film, family film. And then we have the film Afterthought by an Israeli director, Elad Kaidan. So, you know, that's it. It's my top 6, and I have argument for every, or I have an explanation for every of those 6 films why they are in the program.
And also, they're films that have won awards throughout the year. These are not like, you know, niche films necessarily. They have it's good that they get exposure too, because once again, then we could get into the whole argument that maybe cinema is vulnerable in itself, that some films are really hard to market in today's audience, but, you know, I guess that's also the role of festivals maybe a little bit. But so, going on, then there's also other things on the side. Like, for instance, we just attended the work in progress discussion, and then there's also this morning there was a focus on Northern Nordic Lights, which focused, I think, on Scandinavian cinematography. That's pretty cool too.
I like to see the festival as an event that was created in a certain time, in a certain place, and a certain, you know, system. It is dedicated to serve to these premises the most, you know. So if you have a festival that is here in Czech Republic in this time, taking place in the city of Ostrava, which is an industrial town, it kind of, the festival is here to serve to what can it serve, you know. If there wouldn't be need to have a program of works in progress, of presentations of films that are yet to be done and are here discussed, and are discussed from a different point of view because of the niche of a cinematographer. If it wasn't so difficult to get Apichat Ponk or Arnaud Desplechin, to the Czech distribution, there wouldn't be so much need for me to have it in the competition, and maybe there wouldn't even be the need to run the festival, because I would say, okay, so the system is okay, I like it the way it is, and there is nothing to add or to do more, and well, okay, that's it. So the festival express, I think, the state of cinema here, like in the region, I mean in Czech Republic or in Central Europe.
Yeah. And what do you think that state is like?
Well, I don't know if I'm the one who should answer it, you know. I still feel that it takes so much time to show it than to answer it. It's like I would just I don't want to push people more, you know. Mm-hmm. It's you can read a lot from when you look at the lineup of a certain festival, you know. And you can be, and if you are a good reader of lineups, which sounds funny, but still, you know, you can get so much information about what's going on in cinema, in the world as is, you know, and in the region. From learning from how the lineup of Locarno is, or a festival in Cannes, of course, the most important, they are the one who show the way to the others. So that's it. I wouldn't answer the question, and I would rather say either you have to come and you will see how the cinemas here look like, what's the system, how is the public, what is the scale of the public, and how many people actually come, and how the city does look like, or just read the program to answer it, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And I will end on this note that the exhibition is just as important as making the film. So when it comes to that, I think Ostrava Kamera Oko has a really good program, very interesting, and maybe we this interview will encourage people to come next year and in the future editions. So thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to my crazy answers, you know. It's like,
I say, you got it, you need that. That's provocative, it gets people talking, that's what we want.
No, you know, I would just add the one last thing, and it's, you know, we are sitting now here, nobody can see it, but we are sitting here in a small cinema that was built in a non-industrial site, you know. This place was tend to be turned down, and nothing should have been here. But then, you know, there was a project, and a project of cultural heritage, and blah, blah, blah. And they started, they told us that you have a building, and we can do something with it, and, you know, you decide. Mm-hmm. And they showed us the place, and said, so we said, okay, so this will be a great cinema for us. And said, okay, and then I said, maybe it would be better if we have two cinemas. It's not so big, no, for two cinemas, which really is not. You have to come to discover to see it. But I said, you know, there is so many big cinemas, so many middle cinemas. So let's do like two really small halls that are just on the edge of. Okay, you can screen the mainstream distribution films here. Everything, all the technique is here. At the same time, if you need a technical projection, if you need a private screening, if you need just a presentation, whatever, you have all the comfort of a cinema, and it comes in this small, like, in small package. And I'm saying all of this just because it's so crazy. Like, 5 years ago, there was a project of a building to be torn down, and now there are two cinemas that are fit to what I would say, like, to fit to what the public needs, a public that likes cinemas needs now. Two cinemas and, like, the completely renovated building, you know. And I only wanted to say this.
But that's cool, because that's awesome. See, that's what... There's a lot of places that you follow from this example, actually. A lot of buildings that aren't used for anything. You can turn it into a cinema and really do something. So that's really an inspiring story, and thanks for sharing it. So thanks once again for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.